Welcome to the Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside CEO of the Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Well, and I'm laughing because as part of our today's candy, instead of candy, you brought gum.
Cheekless.
But we didn't know it was gum.
You know, it was an aesthetic choice. They look like little baby watermelon.
Yep. They're very authentic looking.
Yeah, and yeah. They taste like watermelon.
So I haven't tried them yet. I've had to go straight to, I brought the original, the OG gummy bears today.
Can't go wrong.
I'm nervous to have the gum because then I won't be able to talk.
I know. Well, you know, choosing candy at midnight in a mysterious airport is never probably going to end
idea.
Up well, but...
I know. Where were you?
Santiago, Chile.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, catching a midnight flight, bleary-eyed, trying to use my pesos.
Our producer does not feel bad for you.
I'm not sure what that gesture was,
actually. I don't
actually.
Know either.
I'm like,
What was that
gesture? Like your eyes are ready to roll out of your head, just do-do-do-do. You
know? Oh.
Yeah. They were.
That is not at all what
and
I caught
were.
On that, so
yeah.
I'm good.
So I could have ended up with some really... really worse things.
No, and I should say, Jeff and I do appreciate the effort you put in to bring us something unique. So
take some home.
There you go. Anyway, well, we're back in studio, and I have to tell you about last Saturday.
You do?
I do. So last Saturday, I got the opportunity to go celebrate the Munsell Vineyards and the Munsell family up in Alexander Valley, their 150th anniversary of farming in Sonoma County and in Alexander Valley of Sonoma County.
And how do you celebrate that? How many family members are there?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. A lot.
Because it's sixth generation now, right?
Yep, they're on the sixth generation. Brett Munsell, who's my board chair, is fifth generation and really kind of managing the farming side. And then he has two brothers. It was a great party over 300 people.
Incredible.
Amazing video that they put together. Just a lot of, you know, it was fun. I mean, so many, I guess, from Alexander Valley, so many of his neighbors and community and folks that they grew up with. And then we had, you know, farmers from across the county come and celebrate as well. So really fun and just like amazing to think 150 years.
Yeah. Incredible.
Bless you.
It
made me sneeze.
I mean, you know, you probably, there's pollen in the vineyard, and
I think it's the watermelon gum I'm responding
you
to.
You did not have any.
I think
blaming the watermelon.
We've done like 120 shows, and that's the first time I've ever sneezed on air.
It's
so there
spring.
You go.
It's spring.
It is spring.
And it's a weird spring with lots of pollen. So
that is the truth. But I should mention, so the Munsell family on Brett's mom's side, the Osbornes, had the first winery in Alexander Valley as well, Lone Pine Cellars.
Incredible.
And it did close, but then Brett and his wife started a new label in Munsell Vineyards in 2006. So they actually released last Saturday their first red wine blend, which is actually made by Clay Morrison.
Oh.
And it was delicious. So it has a special 150th anniversary label on it and really fun. So anyway, just a big congratulations. Obviously the Munsells are part of our Century Club.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to figure out what we're going to do to celebrate 150 years, not just 100 years.
Yeah, so. A big deal. Lots to celebrate. And I look forward to the show because we have another Century Club member coming on in a minute. Here in studio on today's Good Stuff, well, Bill Guadagni, winemaker, fourth generation. I got lost in the notes. Winemaker, fourth generation farmer. I'm like so impressed because we were just talking about Century Club. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I know we got
another Century Club family because so Carissa was talking about the Munsells and the 150 years in Alexander
Valley.
Crazy, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's what an achievement, but. Tell us about your family, because it's close.
Yeah. So my great-grandfather came over in 1898, and he settled in the northern part of Dry Creek Valley, which are original home ranch is now the home to Lou Preston.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that's kind of how he has the jug wine Guadagni that was for my great uncle Jim. But so, yeah, he came in 1898 and he settled up in Northern Dry Creek and we've been there ever since. And so, you know, we were there for quite a few years. And then 1941, my grandfather started doing profit sharing with Mr. Yoakum. So he would work on the property that we're currently on Yoakum and Dry Creek. And he worked, shared profits, and he did that for quite a few years until 1967. And he took out a loan, purchased the property, and solidified our footings in the Dry Creek Valley.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what an inventive to do profit sharing back then.
Well, he was a Depression baby, and so, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and that was a way for him to try to kind of get in and get a footing in. And so, yeah, it was a great way, and, you know, hard worker, and we're very thankful for, you know, his innovativeness.
Of course.
What do you know about, you know, the original Guadagni who came? I mean, you said he came in, you know, the year. Like, what brought him to California?
Well, you know, in Italy, we look at it now and we see how beautiful it is. But back then, they were starving. Like, it was very, very hard life over there. And so he originally came to Chicago in 1896 and stayed there for a couple of years, couldn't stand it. Because he was from outside of Siena. And so... Not quite the same.
Not the cold winters of Chicago. That would be a brutal wake up call, I think.
Definitely. And he was a farmer. He was a farmer in Italy. And so he went back to Italy and then came back and he stayed here. And, you know, it was so similar to home. And so when he got here, he decided, let's set roots. And so he started farming and he had vineyards, he had prunes, apple trees, pears, plums, you know, just kind of everything that you could eat and sell.
Yeah.
And he had quite a few kids. And so, yeah, it's
that happened. Prunes. Yeah. Yes, that happened in that time.
Yeah.
Kids.
It's labor. You got to plan ahead.
Yeah. And I think my great uncle Jim, he only went to third grade and he got pulled out to work. And then, but I believe there was eight kids. Yeah. So quite a few. I only got to meet a few of them because my grandfather was born in 1906.
Okay.
And so Jim was 1903, and then subsequently after. I think Anne was maybe before Uncle Jim, but so they were quite a bit older. So when I came into the picture, there was only a couple of them still alive.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they were hardworking, and they just loved to farm, every single one of them. So it was, you know, kind of been in our blood.
Mm-hmm. And so they sort of stuck on more of the farming track, and that probably were home winemakers, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, a little... It was going into the Depression, too, so I'm sure they did other stuff as well just for fun on the side. But it was always a home winemaking thing. And really, Uncle Jim did the winemaking, too, but he was more farming style. But my grandfather was the one that really enjoyed winemaking. And so I was always told stories. He passed away when I was 2 years old, so I never really got that connection with him. But I was told stories of... You know, all the neighboring people would come by and they'd always want a glass of Fred's wine. That was, you know, Fred was his name. And so that was his passion. And that's kind of what drove me to get into this as well, was trying to kind of get that connection back that I missed growing up.
I like that.
So did you grow up on that property then?
I did. Okay. Yeah, I was born and raised on that property. I was farming, you know, on tractor since I could reach the pedals. And so it's
classic story.
Yeah, it's in the blood, you know. It's fun though. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be in town because I wanted to go ride bikes with friends and everything. Yep. And now looking back, I'm like, man, I was so fortunate to be able to grow up out there.
Yeah, you had a large playground.
Very large and lots of big toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That changes a lot. So you decided early on that you were going to pursue this, or how did kind of that all happen?
In high school, I was kind of trying to weigh my options because we have a welding shop that my dad and uncle started in 1970. And I enjoyed that and I enjoyed the farming, but I kind of wanted to do something else or something more. And I loved chemistry and I loved math. And so I was like, what can I do with this? And so I remember hearing stories about my grandfather making wine. And I was like, maybe I try to go into the winemaking and just see if I like it. And so I went to the JC and then I later transferred to Fresno State. And when I got into the winemaking program, just all the people, all the friends that I made, it was such a wonderful community. And then I just fell in love with it. You know, I'm not a very creative person in life, I would say. But being able to mix the creativity of making wine, but then also the science of it. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful blend that I fell in love.
Yeah, completely. Did you feel like you already had a viticulture background? Like that part for you was just...
Yeah, you know, I did only major in enology. I didn't do the viticulture side because I did grow up with it. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that are very, very good at it too. So mm-hmm. between my dad, the knowledge that I had, and then the community around me, I figured if I can't figure it out, I can ask somebody. But the winemaking is what I really wanted to focus on.
Yeah. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Another young generation coming back to Sonoma County to farm and make wine. Incredible.
Yeah, so talk about the property a little bit, like sort of ground us and what's planted there. And
It's fun, you know. It's not huge. It's 38 acres. Mm-hmm. We have a couple really special blocks, though. So we have two blocks of old vine Zinfandel that's still dry farmed, head pruned, and it's from the 1880s. So ultra old vines. And then we have a block of Petit Syrah that is quite special, too, because in 1910, there was a block that was planted. And over the years, it was kind of slowly starting to fade out. And so in the 90s, my dad and uncle started kind of watching the vines for the course of 5 years and flagging the best vines. And after those 5 years, we took cuttings and recreated the block and reinvigorated it. And so that is a blender that goes into every single one of my wines that I make. Plus, it's also one of my favorite varietals that I make as well. So those are pretty special. And then we do have Merlot and we have Cabernet as well.
And so were most of those grapes sold to other wineries for most of the history?
Yeah, we've pretty much always sold all of our grapes. You know, we've sold to Duckhorn, we've sold to Ridge, we've sold to St. Francis, Gallo. You know, we've kind of been through the rounds. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whoever's buying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so now we still sell a good majority, a lot to Duckhorn and stuff. But now I'm slowly trying to build up our brand and build up other stuff that I can use it as my own, because it's just, I enjoy it. I love the grapes. I think they make such great wine that I want to try to bring it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
And with the older, you know, the older plantings, I mean, are you finding that those are still very highly sought after? Are there wineries that specifically are looking for something with some heritage, or is that really something you want to keep more for yourself?
I kind of want to keep it for myself.
Yeah.
You know,
I would too.
100%. 100%.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's such a special vineyard, because when I make wine, I make it where, like, a Zinfandel is going to be 15.5 alcohol. I'm not the style where it's 14%. But the soil is so great for it that it retains such nice acidity that it's a beautiful balance. So, yeah, I am a little selfish in it, so I do keep it
for
myself.
No, I'm saying I like it. I like it. I think, too, though, because of the history, you have such respect for the old vineyard that,
definitely.
I think that, yeah, other winemakers might as well, but I think, you know, it's really, from what you're saying, so connected to your heritage and your legacy that, like, it'd kind of be a shame for someone else not to get to, you know, craft a wine from those grapes.
100%, you know, and the people that we do sell to, like, when Ridge was doing it for us, they did such a beautiful job. So when it's put in the hands of people that truly know how to work with it, it makes me feel better, too. And so, like, they showcase it so wonderfully. And St. Francis had done a wonderful job as well with their old vines in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. I know.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of curious about...
Like, I know, I cut you off, sorry.
No, not at all. We're a little rusty.
Sneezed on the show today, and I've cut you off. We're out of practice here.
We are very out of practice, so that's okay. Now, I was curious more about the wine drinking side of your growing up. I mean, you know, you had home winemakers in your family, but were you, you know, you're growing up in the middle of Sonoma County. I'm sure you had a lot of other friends that were in the wine world.
Oh, yeah.
Were you, when did you start really appreciating wine?
It's always
you
been
can be
a part.
Honest.
Yeah.
We don't care about age.
It's always been a part of it, you know, and growing up in the Italian style where wine was a part of every major event, but it was also part of daily dinners too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember holidays and stuff when we were little, you would get like maybe a little splash of wine and then a lot of water just to kind of feel the part. And so it was always kind of incorporated. And so growing up, I always knew it was special. I truthfully didn't really get to appreciate it until I got older, because it was something that I didn't really, really start drinking until I was probably, well, maybe 18, 19, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. just starting to kind of like, okay, let's see what this is. And then when I got into Fresno State and I got into the Enology Society, which was where we would take community members mm-hmm. as students and we teach them about wine. And that really started to drive my focus into reaching out and seeing all the different wines that are out there and learning about them and things like that.
Did your mom come from a kind of wine or farming family?
No. So her dad was a chef, and so they owned a restaurant in Santa Rosa, kind of by the old courthouse.
Okay.
Back in the 60s.
What was it called?
Oh boy, that I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. they had it for about 8 years, and so he was always a cook, and so she went into more of the dentistry side, which was kind of random, but. She did that for a while, and then when they had my sister in 83, she decided to leave that and come back to the ranch with my dad and my uncle because they had the welding business and then the farm, and so she did the accounting for us from then on.
Mm-hmm. But there's the food side.
Yes. I know. I was going to say, yeah, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about this restaurant. I'm like curious about old school Santa Rosa. Was it Italian?
No, it was just Italian. A little diner. So he was a Polish guy, so...
Oh, yeah.
A little far from the Italian side, it was a nice little diner.
I love it. Research.
I know. I was going to say, yeah, we're research. On it. Yeah. I know. Come
What's
on, Jeff.
What was her maiden name?
Tandecki.
Tandecki. Okay. I'm on it. I'm going to research.
You got a lot of vowels and then all the names.
Yes. We're not easy with the last names.
I know. Jeff's on it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
He's going to find out what was
got
this
our producer
diner.
Going.
And maybe,
got our producer
yeah.
going.
But I'm curious about other, you know, sort of influences just growing up. Did you have mentors? Did you, or was this really some, you know, before you went to Fresno? I mean, you went to Santa Rosa Junior College, which is also a great place to learn about wine and viticulture. So
that was wonderful.
Did that sort of kick things off?
It did a little bit. You know, what that really did for me was the math and sciences at the JC were incredible. Because when I got down to Fresno State and I started taking upper division, like, botany classes and things like that. It was stuff that I learned in the quote unquote lower division classes at the JC. Like their mm-hmm. programs are just so fantastic. You learn so much. But truthfully, I really didn't get my mentorships going until post graduation. Mm-hmm. I was kind of fortunate. I graduated in December, and so I ended up getting a job in McLaren Vale in South Australia. So I went there and we would work 24-hour shifts, so we would do 12 on, 12 off. And a couple times when I was doing the night shift, their head winemaker would be there at 2 a.m. with us, and he was coined the Grenache King. And so he was such a sweet person. He sat in there and listened to all my questions, and I truly fell in love with the Grenache grape during that part. And that was kind of the first delve into somebody really influenced me on that. And when I came back from there, I ended up getting a job with Martinelli in their lab. Mm-hmm. And while I was at Martinelli, I became really good friends with Erin Green, their consulting winemaker. Mm-hmm. And she has been my mentor ever since. So from 2015 till now, she has influenced every aspect of my winemaking. And I would say she's the biggest influence on the wine side. And then my dad and my uncle were the influence on the grape growing
side. How nice to have that combination and to find it just sort of naturally.
Well, they say it's better to be lucky than good. And I've been quite lucky.
Like yes, well, that is true. And the Grenache, I do spy your Grenache. So, like, yeah, you've got so you didn't have Grenache planted before that?
No.
Okay,
so
that's a new thing.
So I make a Sauvignon Blanc, a Grenache Rosé, and a Grenache. Those three varietals or those three SKUs, I do not grow. I get them from the Saini family, which is basically my second family. You know, my dad and John Saini. You know, separated at birth kind of thing. And so, yeah, they're family. So we purchased those grapes from them.
And that's another one where the younger generation has come in. So, yeah, all right. We have to take a quick break. We will come right back on to talk more with Bill Guattini.
Thank you.
Good Stuff, talking with our guest today, Bill Guadagni, winemaker, fourth generation farmer. Tried to get that right.
Okay, we're going to practice. You say Bill.
Bill?
Guadagni.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, we got it. Okay.
I don't know why, but I have like have known how to say your last. I don't know.
I have it in my head. I'm just bragging.
It's tough. I played a lot of baseball growing up, and so I heard a lot of different ways of announcing it coming up to bat. So
yeah,
I bet. Yeah,
heard it all.
Oh yeah.
No worries. It's a tough name.
So do you have any nicknames?
I mean, my friends have come up with random names, but nothing. Yeah.
Nothing you want to share on air?
Oh, just they make no sense. Okay. They make no sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the right friends to have, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Makes no sense, but you love them anyway.
Why are you Marshmallow, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they call you that?
Exactly. I love it.
All right. So you mentioned the Grenache. Well, we're starting to talk about the Grenache, and then also you mentioned some Sauvignon Blanc. So you're buying grapes for certain things that you want to make.
Yeah. So we purchased a Sauvignon Blanc. I just love Sauv Blanc. Mm-hmm. It's just such a nice, easy, crisp, clean. Yeah. And then we purchased Grenache that we do for our Grenache Rosé. It's named after my wife. That's how I got her to marry me. You know,
I like it.
Yeah. No, just kidding. But, so. We do that.
Stick with me, you get a wine.
Exactly. And then the story behind the Grenache is I had a lot of people wanting to have Pinot Noir, and part of the story behind the Guadagni label is I only want to make wine from Dry Creek Valley because that's our heritage. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of racked my brain for a little while, and I was like, you know, Grenache is kind of similar to Pinot in body weight, and so I was like, let me try to take Grenache and make it like I would a Pinot Noir. So, you know, we do the open top fermentations, 3 punch downs a day. I use heavy toast French oak. It's aged for 18 months, and so it's my quote unquote Dry Creek Valley Pinot.
Nice. And it's 100%.
Oh, I like that.
Like you just make a...
Well, yeah, it has 5% Petit Sirah.
I was going to say, I heard Petit Sirah goes in everything.
Sirah goes into all my reds. And then the Petit Sirah gets a little bit of Zin. But yeah, so that one has 5% Petit Sirah in it.
And what do you think the Petit Sirah does?
It just gives it a little pop of color. It gives it a little more backbone to it. Mm-hmm. And there's just a little bit more seriousness to it that it adds. You know, Petit has such a wonderful... It's got like blueberry... And cacao nib style, so when you put it with the Grenache, it just really does blend well.
Was that a tricky thing for you to find in Dry Creek Grenache? I mean, it's...
You know, in 18, it wasn't, and that was the first vintage that I did of it. It wasn't as popular, and that's why I named it Lucky 7, because it was Block 7, and everyone said, you know, that's not the right one. I was like, well, it'll be my lucky wine. It was harder to find. Now it's starting to become more prevalent. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting to try to branch away from just your cabs, your zins, and they're trying to get into, like, I'm the winemaker at Orsi as well, and we do 11 Italian varietals.
Yes, you do.
And some great ones. Yeah.
You know, people...
A lot of ones I can't pronounce.
Oh,
so
yes.
I can take your last name, but those...
Yeah, like Bianca Layla?
I tell Mark Orsi makes fun of me all the time. He's like, just try saying it again. I'm like, nope.
Exactly.
I'm out. Just going to point.
But yeah, you've seen a large transition of people starting to do more... I guess tertiary varietals, you know, and so
I think that's great for Dry Creek Valley.
It's good, right?
I mean, it just sort of expands the opportunity, the palate, the experiences, the food you compare with.
It gives tasters more of an option too. So it's not like you're tasting the same 3 wines no matter where you go.
Yeah.
And Dry Creek Valley is beautiful, and it's perfect soil, perfect climate. We can grow so many good things there, and so I think we're now starting to really branch into that for sure.
All right, so tell us about the other wines that do come from your property.
Yeah, so the first one that we do is a Merlot. That one kind of got derived because of Erin Green. She used to be at Pallmeyer, and Merlot was always her specialty, and so she's like, let's play around with it. And so it always comes to be about 86% Merlot. There's about 9% Cab, and then about 5% Petit Sirah. Mm-hmm. And it's very light. It's a little bit more elegant, a little bit fruit-driven, and then just a kiss of oak on it. Everything's about 23 to 27% new French oak. Mm-hmm. But it's a lighter style. It's not like the big kick-your-teeth-in Merlots.
Yeah. Cab light.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Merlot.
I do too. Very underrated now.
I think most people do. They just decided that there was something wrong with it that wasn't there. But unless to your point, I mean, there were a lot of Merlots that were made like cabs. And,
And then there was a lot planted in the Delta and planted in areas that maybe weren't necessarily great for growing it. So, there were some mediocre Merlots, but now that's kind of changed because people have ripped those out. And you know.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I feel like very confident ordering a Merlot from anywhere in Sonoma County.
Oh, 100%.
I'm like, if you're still doing Merlot, there's a real passion for
it. It's going to be good.
It's in the right place.
Yeah, it's in the right place, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, we transition into our Zins. And so I make three Zins. The first is, I just call it the Heritage Zin. That one is a little bit more red fruit driven. I had a lot of people going, you know, I enjoy Alexander Valley Zins. I enjoy Russian River Zins. And so I started looking at them, and their flavor profiles were a little bit lighter, a little bit more red fruit, like cranberry, raspberry. Mm. And so I take from block one, which is one of the 1880s blocks, and I blend about 5% Petite Sirah, 6% Petite Sirah until I get that red fruit expression. Hmm. And then we jump into the 1906, which is for my grandfather. Mm. And he always said, if you ever make wine from this ranch, that you take it from a specific area in block one and two. And so when I make that one, we take it from there, and it has about 12% Petite Sirah in it. And that, I believe, is more of the traditional Dry Creek Valley. You know, it's going to be spicy. It's going to be like boysenberry, brambleberry, more of the dark fruit, mm-hmm. right?
I'm realizing I didn't have breakfast as you're talking about all this.
Stop talking about fruit.
Right? I know, I'm like, exactly. I want some like preserves right now, and like a lovely little scone.
Or barbecue.
That sounds nice.
Go with the wine. Yeah. I know, I'm like, wait a minute. I know, thanks for all this.
Cacao nibs.
I'm going to be sneezing, and my stomach's going to start growling. It's going to be a whole disaster.
Yeah, and the watermelon gum is not going to
do it. Not going to cut it.
No.
Anyway, sorry. Sorry for interrupting, but I was like,
you're good.
So good.
Wine is food.
It is.
Yeah, it's meant to be paired with it for sure. The Italians have it right in that sense.
Absolutely.
We're probably going to have to open some since, as you said, it's now going to be my food.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's fading. We might need some nutrition. Put some nutrition in her.
That's waiting.
So what...
And then you said a third Zin.
Zin. So I've the third Zin is, I call it an estate reserve. So I've only made two vintages of it, 17 and 19. And 17, we had a really bad heat spell. Mm-hmm. And it was the first vintage that I was trying to do something new. And I was only making a ton and a half. And so I was freaking out. I lost about 20%. My dad goes, hey, you know, the Merlot's at the same bricks. Why don't you co-ferment it? And I go, no, you don't do that. And so we went back and forth. And finally, I caved. And it turned out incredible. It was so fun. It had the suppleness of the Merlot, but it had the spice of the Zin and the big boldness of the Zin. And so I was like, I took pretty meticulous notes, and in 19, I wanted to see if I could recreate it. And sure enough, it actually was better. I was like, okay, this is awesome. And then life has gotten quite busy with, you know, other things. So I haven't unfortunately been able to make it again, but I'm hoping to do it either in 26 or 27.
Nice.
Yeah.
Limited release. Supplies are limited.
Yes.
Like, step right up. So that's the lineup. That's
I do make a Cabernet Sauvignon and then also a Petite Sirah. And those two are, they've been coming into their own. The Petite is very unique, a little niche, but it is one of my favorites.
Okay. So that's.
Do you blend anything into the Petite?
About 8% Zin.
I like because you blend the Petite and everything else, so the Petite had to get
Blends going. Are the best thing for wines.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like that too.
And where do you make the wines?
So I do them at Orsi right now.
Oh, okay.
So since I make their wine and we run a custom crush as well there, so I just, that way I get to, you know, have my hands on it constantly too.
That's fun. And just touch on with the Orsi, like you get to experiment a lot more.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah. Do you have some favorites? I mean, especially on the white. I love that he's doing so many Italian whites.
Oh, the Bianco Lela is just incredible. It's so, so easy to drink. So fun. It's so light. It's like 11.4% alcohol typically. It's incredible. And then the Fiano, it's like nothing I've ever had before, and it ages so well for a white wine.
Yeah.
I had to Google so much when I started there. I called friends in Italy. I'm like, hey, what? Tell me
what
about this grape.
Yeah, what do you do?
Even they didn't know half of them. Yeah. It was kind of funny.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We will come right back on, and we can talk more about all the wines.
We'll be right back.
wrapping things up on today's good stuff with our guest Bill Guadagni from Guadagni Family Wines, talking about all the wines that you make. But how can people come and experience your wines, or where can they find them even in Sonoma County?
Yeah, so we're fortunate to have a couple placements with Willie's Wine Bar. They carry our Grenache. Riviera carries our 1906 block and our Petite Syrah.
Nice.
You know, they've been wonderful
two
partners.
Two places I go to.
Right?
So, all right, be on the lookout.
No, so but we're so small that, you know, we're basically website-driven sales. And then if people want to ever, you know, try our wines and stuff, you can get on our socials, Guadagni Family Wines, at for Instagram or for Facebook, and you can email us, call us, and then we can try to set up a way for them to do it. And
yep.
We've been slowly building our wine club. We're up to about 97 members finally.
Nice.
So yeah, we're getting there.
I like it. You're a baby.
And we are.
You're a part of our Century Club, which is recognizing some of our oldest farming families, and also a baby.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Got it all covered.
We've been doing a heavy push because we're getting quite close now to actually building our winery and our tasting room out on our property. So it's kind of that last little push, and hopefully we'll be breaking ground here in a few months.
So what were some of the most important, I'm sure you had, you know, your vision for what you wanted for a winery. Like, so what was important to you?
You know, it's been a 13-year process, so our vision has changed tenfold every time. But basically, my wife is the creative party planner one, and so she has kind of worked with one of our good friends, Alex Harris, who's been the designer for it. And so we wanted the open concept. We wanted the commercial kitchen that we could cook. We could have chefs in, whatever, you know, kind of. We didn't want to be hindered by anything. My biggest thing was I just wanted plenty of room for the production side of things.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
You know, it'll be...
It has to be functional.
It has to be functional. But it's, you know, 3,600 square feet of tasting room. There's big, big alcoves, high ceilings. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful space.
That is very exciting.
I mean, your parents must be very proud.
They are. They're very excited. You know, my dad's 75, my mom's 75, and they're starting to get tired, but my dad's the typical Italian. He'll work until he can't anymore. And he said this gives him the extra drive because it's fun to see the next generation really pushing forward.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, and building for the future generations, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, that's and that's I forgot to touch on it, but on our label, there's four coins, and so Guadagni means of earning in Italian, and so my wife came up with this concept. So we have four coins representing the four generations, and our hopes are if my daughter or my nephews decide to continue on, we can continue stacking coins.
Aw, that just gave me chills.
I
like that.
Is that because you're hungry, though?
No. It might be because I'm hungry.
And emotional.
Also,
emotional,
I'm all the things
hungry.
Today. Yeah. I don't know. But I love that so much because it's just a visual representation of your family legacy.
Yeah.
In a very subtle.
Yeah, no, and we talk about this all the time, but certainly with the Century Club, but you know, this and the Munsells, you think of it like every generation contributing like something different,
something
that hopefully keeps the family going.
Exactly.
For the next.
Yeah, you have to continually evolve, and so each generation has a fresh perspective, and it's needed, right?
It's that balance of stewarding what you were left
100%.
And then also, putting your fingerprint on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and building it forever.
No, and I think that is very common that this current kind of generation is really interested in actually having their own wine.
Yes. It's a big deal.
Provides a different opportunity and actually truly expresses the place that, you know, you love and have been taking care of. So.
Yeah.
So what else is coming?
I know, we're thoughtful now.
We're sort of thinking so much about what you're building and what, you know, but what else? Are you involved in other things? And are you mentoring, like, other generations?
Yeah, not really yet. I have a full plate with my wife and I do a vast majority of the wine club stuff, mainly my wife, but I'm the little helper guy there. But I think I make between 30 to 40 SKUs between Orsi, myself, and a couple other projects that I do. And so life is busy right now, but it's a good busy. We're in that grind part of life where we're just trying to build. And, you know, I've been very fortunate, like I said, with even Daryl Groom has helped me quite a bit. Pete Sagacio has helped me quite a bit. Aaron Green has helped me quite a bit. And so everybody has that I've come across has always imparted wisdom and imparted help, and so whenever I get that opportunity, I try to, and hopefully as I get a little bit older, I'll have more opportunities.
Yeah.
But it's a big part of this industry is we help each other, you know, you help the next
people.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's a very Sonoma County and a very wine and ag community thing.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, and we had a chance before the recording started to talk a little bit about Passport at Dry Creek, which is such a signature event for them. And just, you felt like it was really, like, people really wanted to be there.
It was wonderful.
They were really excited to buy things and try things. And
yeah, this was my fourth year doing it for Orsi, and I would say this was the best one I've seen yet. Everybody was just so open to learning about the wines. They were in a great mood. People were leaving with a wine, some food, some something, you know, and
That's awesome.
It was great to see. It felt like there was a little bit more rejuvenation in the wine industry.
And we all need that.
Yeah. We all need that. Well, what a perfect place to end, and to thank you so much for coming and telling your family story.
Yeah, thank you guys for having
me.
I really appreciate
great.
It.
On the good stuff to wrap up the good stuff. Carissa?
So much good stuff.
Are you still thinking about food?
I am a little bit. But now I'm eating some gummy bears, so
okay.
I'm fine.
I hope that you can survive the next few minutes.
Seriously.
Talk about a Tuesday night wine and other things. But that was fun. I mean,
really
Century
fun.
Club, anybody who's in the Century Club obviously has lots to talk about and lots of different ways that their story went. And
I know. I love that we're kind of unfolding and inviting Century Club members in to do shows with us. A good way to sort of keep that, capture that legacy in another format.
And one that is, you know,
ongoing.
Ongoing and building new things. And I mean, they didn't really have a wine label before.
I know. I'm super excited to try the wines because I don't think I've actually had them.
Well,
I know.
What's keeping it?
I know. Well, I'm coming over on Tuesday night. So what are you doing?
Well, I really
Back
am
to you.
Intrigued by the older vineyards, as I often am. So I had already sort of thought about the 1906 Block Zinfandel.
I know, that's very cool.
That he mentioned. And I love that he's keeping that for himself. He's farming it so meticulously and keeping it alive.
And I'm going to do a little shout out. So I'm going to take two wines. I'm just going to, you know, I got two. I know, breaking all the rules. Breaking all the
rules.
There
are no rules.
So, because I really want to try his Grenache, but then I'm also intrigued, you know, he buys the grapes from the Saini family, and they have a Nanos Bianco that I have not tried, which is a white wine blend of Chenin Blanc, some Sauvignon Blanc, It marries the opulence of Chenin Blanc, the vitality of Sauvignon Blanc, and the richness of Chardonnay.
But what is it? Those
three
things?
I think it's
a blend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is... I haven't had it, so that's, I'm going to bring it over.
Researching on the fly.
I am researching, exactly. I mean, it's intriguing to me, so I want to try it.
Another Dry Creek Valley.
Yeah. A neighbor. As he said, I think he said his brother and John Saini were kind of, grew up almost like brothers more than
his
know,
dad,
neighbors.
Right.
So.
All right, so we have some of their information. He mentioned that you could check their socials if you want to figure out a way to taste with them or try some of the wines. It was nice that he mentioned some of the accounts where you can find the wines. But the address for Guadagni Family Wines is 2060 Yoakum Bridge Road, Healdsburg, guadagnifamilywines.com or info@guadagnifamilywines.com. Yes, I can spell it.
And I should just give a quick also shout out because it's the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience coming up this week. So I think you can still get some tickets for the Grand Tasting, which will be a week from now.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, do that.
So.
Do that.
So
do
you
that.
Should buy tickets and go to the Grand Tasting. There
yes.
you go.
Okay. And in the meantime, if you want to check out more, it's GUADAGNIFamilyWines.com.
There you go.
There you go. Or check out a little bit of their story on Century about, you know, their Century Club membership. And
well, that's on our website. So go to SonomaWineGrape.org on our website.
So many places to go.
And now I'm going to have to go research the Nanos Bianco from Saini.
Okay. And 1906 Block Zinfandel from Guadagni 2022 Dry Creek Valley.
And the Grenache.
Okay, well,
it's going to be a great
show.
Tuesday night.
Indeed it will. Thanks for joining us today. And thank you to our guests from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.